Change is a difficult thing. None of us like change. I don't particularly enjoy it. That sounds kind of maybe a ridiculous thing to our kids and in our family, because our life has been full of just radical changes. We thought about it this week. Our son moved. He's now, they graduated, they're finished, and they're going to another part of the country. So that's tough. You see your kids going away like that. When our daughter was 9 months old, Jill and I moved to Sierra Leone, which was really radical change. There was no electricity, there was no water, there was just nothing. Some of you probably remember, can you remember back, maybe even in your house or your grandparents, they didn't have water, they didn't have electricity. Maybe, I know some people didn't even have, there wasn't a bathroom in the house. That's not too long ago when you think about it. I mean, that's really recent. So change is difficult. Change is something that creates stress for us. It's just hard. I was sharing this with Jill, what I was going to talk about, and she shared an insight with me that I thought was, it helped me understand it a little bit better. So with little ones, because my wife works with little ones, zeros to three, and in that age group, it's fascinating that if they don't have a constant source of love and care, they actually don't develop right. It actually affects them. That if they don't have that constant love, if their love and care is inconsistent, they learn that they can't trust anyone. And they also don't develop higher brain skills as they should. And I think it's really fascinating because the number one attribute, the number one characteristic of God is love. And when we talk about His immutable nature, His unchanging nature, it's love. That's the center of it all. And so I think that God has even wired us. We've been created by Him. We've even been wired to receive Him as a loving and kind and caring God. Where this really goes awry is when we live life. Because, you see, what you have an unchanging God who is love, but you have people who don't follow God and will do things that are not well, not appropriate, not helpful. And actually, many people feel that they have the right to not even listen to God, and if God does anything, He should listen to them. And, you know, it's, so you have this juxtaposition of ideas and thoughts and lifestyles and everything and character that just hits in the reality of life. And plus the fact that we are finite, we don't live here forever. There's just a lot of times that I think it's difficult for us in all these changes. What God, is communicating to us is that Him in His love, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. As Risa was saying, there's a fascinating little side note that's important to grasp, to bring into our minds. Is in the book of Revelation, we have a Bible study in Revelation we're doing during the week, and in that book, it's amazing that when John is in heaven and he's seeing this incredible vision, and the other saints are there and they're seeing Christ, guess how they see Him? With the scars. They see Him with the scars that He had for us. They don't go away for eternity. There's no reason for them to be there. He's completely healed, and even after His resurrection, He still had the holes in His new body. Because God wants us to forever remember that His biggest, most wonderful, unchanging characteristic is love. And just to get that in our hearts and minds, I mean, let's just stop and take a moment, not only now, but every day, all the time, to begin to grasp that this is His number one characteristic, personality. This is how He is. This is how He thinks. And it never changes. Never changes. It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? I mean, it really is. And what God does is God takes us through opportunities. He gives us chances in this life that we can learn His unchanging love. Beautiful examples of it. some of the members of our congregation had been working through a Bible study about King David. And King David, of course, wrote the most wonderful psalm in the world. I mean, Psalm 23. You guys know it? I mean, we could probably almost say it together. But the beginning part is really cool. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then he goes on to talk about all the wonderful things, how the Lord has cared for him, and just this lofty, incredible view of God's shepherding, which he actually says includes correcting, includes God leading him in the shadow of death even. And you know, it's in that what's really fascinating, if we were just to think about just that psalm for this moment, when God gave David that psalm, it was relatively early in his life. And when he was a shepherd boy, he would compose these and they would come to mind. And actually Saul, as David is just a boy, had brought Saul into his court to sing these psalms to him to calm Saul down. And David gave him a life that was very challenged because Saul turned around and persecuted him, tried to kill him a number of times. The prophet promised him that he would be king. That didn't happen for decades, and he had to live a horrible life. We were reading in the Bible class that at one point, in order to escape Saul, he had to go to the enemies, the Philistines, where of course Goliath was from, and in order to survive among them, he had to pretend that he was insane. And it says that he started drooling from his beard and he acted really crazy. So he changed. And it was fascinating that yet he's the same one that says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he is a man that it's recorded, is a man that was after God's own heart. So you see, God wants us in this lifetime, and there is great gold in this. There is amazing resource in this. Because God is omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing. When we first and foremost realize that His immutable character is love, that opens up the door to the fullness of His presence in our lives. And that will happen only by faith. It's something that we have to learn. And we learn through mistakes. We learn through growing. That God's love for us absolutely never changes. And it's difficult. I get this. It's really frustrating at times. Let me share with you, just to get practical, because the second point that I wanted to share centers on the fact that God's Word doesn't change. So His promises to you don't change. I mean, David wrote that thousands of years ago, right? And we can still take the same psalm and we can still live by it, trust by it, find it to be true today. It's amazing. It is really cool. And in our text from Hebrews, it's interesting. If you grab the back of your bulletins for a moment and you look at this, I'd like to do this with you together. And now take a look at, you'll see verse 8, short and sweet, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But look at the context just before it. Look at where we're encouraged to see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Take verse 5, for example. He says in verse 5, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with whatever you have." And then he goes on to say, he says, "Because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" This is an incredible, amazing call for us to live in joyful simplicity and to be incredibly generous, to be just simple, joyful, generous. And isn't that the exact opposite the way the world thinks? Gotta have money, and we stress over it, and we worry about it. And we feel we have to have this. I mean, it gets brutal. It gets difficult. We stress about having enough money for our retirement. We stress about having a raise. We stress about all sorts of things. And we worry about these things. And they cause us not to see that Jesus Christ actually, as Risa was rightly saying, present, in the past, in the present, and in the future. So what should we do? One thing that I would suggest that we would do is for us, and I think that's what he's getting to, is to think back. Let's all think back to when God had gotten you through a difficult time. Was there a time when you were broke? There was a time when Jill and I were broke. I remember getting married, and we were married, and we had $800. We had just gotten married, and we had $800 to our name and a Ford Pinto. That's broke. You know, it was not good. And no jobs. We didn't have jobs either. But we got married. So we were broke and stupid, I guess. I don't know. But we figured we're going to make life work. We're going to make life work. We're going to survive. We're going to do this right. You know, so we had determination and everything. God got us through. God got us through. I could give you incredible testimonies. I mean, actually, little side note, I ended up actually getting a job. I was a sous chef, got a wonderful job in a restaurant. The guy hired me, he did a mistake. He didn't hire me for an hour for salary. He hired me hourly. So one time the bookkeeper handed me the check. He goes, "You're making more than the boss." God just provided all of this stuff, and we couldn't believe it. So it was just great. But you can't see that. You see what I mean? You can't see that going into it. So in this one, he's telling us, he's saying the whole world is running after money. And they're literally, if they could, even in some cases are, killing each other in order to get ahead. He said, stop and think. Quote this verse in your heart and in your mind. And if you do, it will change your words, your actions, your anxiety. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And then look, see, he goes on in verse 6. You see why he would speak like this then? So then you can say with confidence, you can have confidence. You can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can my board or boss or anything else do to me? See, yeah, but it's not in arrogance, it's not in inconsideration, it's not with love. It's with a confidence that the Lord provides, and I can be at peace. And I can love you, and I can love the world, and I can love even my enemies, trusting God. I am not going to worry, because the Lord is my shepherd, and He will watch over me. And this is the immutable nature of God, is really the power. This is the key to it. This is the source, because life changes, and life is very difficult. The problem is that we have, is we don't think like God. We don't have the mindset of God. See, because we change, and we change because we don't have all the resources, we're not prepared, we have a plan A, we have a plan B, and so in this, we really need to develop a confidence, we need to develop an understanding, we need to develop the truth of God's promises in our heart and in our mind, and the best way to do that is to just get into the Scriptures. That's the best way to do it. And spend time thinking about God's promises, thinking about His care for you. And you might not even have the exact verse in your mind. That's fine. There are sometimes we don't actually have the, you know, exact verse in our mind, but we can have in our mind the understanding that God cares for us and loves us and be drawn in to His Word, to understand more about this beautiful, wonderful God that would give His life for us, that would care for us. You see, this is the illumination of faith that happens in the heart of us who know God. This is it, to be drawn to His attributes. This is why we're looking at the attributes of God. So we can remind ourselves in a world that is very much unknowing of them and maybe not even plugged into them, we would be. And it would manifest itself in good fruit, in love, in joy, in peace, in gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, all these things. So this is where God actually meets us and God actually works to transform us. And we learn this best just by trusting Him. We really do, just by trusting Him. And it's a good thing for us to learn. It's a good thing for us to grow in. We take these immutable attributes of God, and God is worth trusting no matter what. No matter what we go through, no matter what life throws at us. And I would pray, and I believe, I am happy for you. I'm really happy for you as believers. I'm happy for myself. I'm very positive because I know that it says in Philippians that God, Philippians 1:6, that God who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's press into that. Let's believe that. Let's trust in our wonderful God and leave behind the things that distract and the things that lead us off the path, whether they are sins or worries or whatever it may be. God, keep us in this and help us to grow in this. In Jesus' name, amen.